It's Brule's Rules with Channel 5's Dr. Steve Brule.
Hi, I'm Dr. Steve Brule. Another one of my Brule's Rules that you can't live without if you want to stay in school. Do you have smelly body parts? Smelly under your arms and the armpits? Just put some vinegar on it. Why didn't you think of that? For your health.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
Hey, it's Kevin Nealon, and you're listening to the Homie Broadcast. Yeah.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio, on RadioSt.Pete.com every Sunday, 6:15, Mondays, 10:15, and now, if you are an early bird, a very early bird, Tuesdays, 4:15 a.m. I think that's mostly for the, since this is an online station, and we have listeners all over the world, worldwide. So Europe, you can now listen, whatever time that is. In your time, I don't know. Well, welcome if you are listening from Europe. Certainly appreciate it. And of course, you can always catch us on podcasts, on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. It should be there as far as I know. Just look up hashtag HMB Radio. You got James Bailey's My Mom's Favorite Podcast on there. The Dallas Cowboys podcast, maybe. They did one in December. I know those guys are super busy, but they haven't done one since December. But hopefully they'll be back shortly with their... They actually take the time with theirs, you know. They're editing, they're adding, you know, skits. It's a little more in-depth than this here program. And then we have more coming, including Kyle Roos's Funny Pricks. It's going to be a tattoo podcast with a comedy twist, I guess. So that should be coming soon. And Ariel Stevenson's coming with a serial type of podcast, crime drama series type of thing. That probably won't be for a while, though, because I think she wants to do all 10 or 12 episodes that she's talking about and then release them week by week. So a lot of exciting things. Check out HMBRadio.com and on Facebook, HMB Radio. My name is Will Kuntz. I'm host of this program. You're listening to the Homemade Broadcast on Radio St. Pete. Welcome. I hope you're well. This podcast is brought to you by Sly Bar. Every second and fourth Tuesday, check out the open mic at Sly Bar. We put on a comedy night there. It's a lot of fun. Lando's always there. We got a $50 cash prize, and I hear the prizes might be upped here pretty soon. Joe and Lauren, very generous of those guys, big supporters of the St. Pete and Tampa Bay comedy scene. So I think we're going to have even more money to give away here pretty shortly, so I'm really excited about that. Check them out, 2061 Central Avenue, right here in St. Pete, and their website is slybar.com. What else do I have to tell you? I think that's it. That's mostly it. Let's bring in my guest today. My guest today is Jay Rivera.
What's going on?
What's up, man?
Not much, man. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, I didn't know that you were, we were talking off air, that you were actually in radio at one point.
Yeah,
how did you get your start in that?
Ironically, nothing to do with radio. It was really more just radio sales. You know, I was working in Alabama for 97X. And 97X.
Oh, they have a station, 97X, in Alabama?
Well, yeah, they do, but it's actually out of the Panama City beach scene. But it, where I lived in Alabama, you could literally have them all the way out there. You could hear them, I should say. And I was doing sales for them, and, you know, one thing led to another. And I was doing sales, and I started doing commercials. Promo work, and then came down to the Bay and went from there, you know?
Yeah.
You know? Working for the Cowhead Show, like we were discussing, for a little bit there as an intern, and then for 93.3.
And then how did you stumble out of it?
Well, you know, the realities are, you know, just, well, reality is responsibilities suck.
Yeah.
So I went from that into doing adult movies.
Really?
Yeah, I was filming adult movies, man.
You had your own media company at this time.
Yeah, that's the one I was actually referring to earlier. It's called High Velocity Entertainment.
Uh-huh.
That was back then.
Not doing that anymore.
No.
Oh, man.
Yeah, no, trust me. It was good times. It was good times. But, yeah, that's been my journey so far.
So, okay, so you left. Now you're doing stand-up comedy as well.
Yeah.
So you started in radio, in the media field.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever happened in radio wasn't paying enough, or you had some falling outs with some people,
yeah.
And then started a media company distributing and making adult films.
Yep. Small, skinny of it. Yep.
And how long did that last?
Lasted till we were about out of money, pretty much. Like, we had a $20,000 investor into it. So we were able to really find some great looking girls, flew out to Vegas to film. And yeah, filming, an adult scene in the, I'm not sure if you heard of the Excalibur.
No. Okay. I probably should have, but no.
No, brother. It's it's a trip of a hotel because it's actually
the Excalibur Hotel. Yes, I've heard of that. I thought you were talking about like a male performer or something.
No, that's not my specialty.
Gotcha.
No, it was, but it was funny because we were filming it inside this hotel and I had to go get the talent downstairs. Now, these girls don't come dressed like, you know, Stepford Wives or nothing like that. They come looking like they're ready to work
right.
an adult film.
Right.
And I had to walk them through the lobby where there's a bunch of kids. And, yeah, there was a lot of awkward stares, you know.
I would imagine, though, in Vegas, I mean, everybody's kind of dressed like that. It's kind of known for a debauchery town. It's the new Sodom, you know. I would imagine many people would even give it a second look. I mean, people know what goes on in Vegas.
True. But I guess in this particular hotel, since it's really geared toward kids, we just happened to find a good hotel deal, you know, for the stay of the night.
Right.
You know, we were getting a little bit more stares. I think it was mainly because one of the girls decided to bring her own toys in a see-through bag.
Oh, that's good.
I thought that was so sweet of her. You had no idea, you know.
Yeah, that's nice. And it lets everybody know what's up. There's going to be no questions asked. I wonder if that girl is a hooker. Yes, she is. I can see the toys in her bag. Exactly. Or maybe she could be a salesman, I guess, maybe.
Yeah, I'd be afraid to be the client. You know what I'm
saying?
Because she had some Beast toys in there. I was like, man, you've been in this for a little bit too long.
You know? Tampa is kind of it's like a porn capital, though, isn't it? For adult films, there's a lot of things that happen here.
Yeah, brother. Actually, there was, for a while there, Ron Jeremy's online dorm, if you would. Like, and that was actually out in Ybor.
Uh-huh.
All right. Here's the kicker to that. That building that he used is now a church. Yeah.
That's so ironic.
Yeah. And it's right next to a strip club.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's a trip and a half. But there have been a lot of adult stars that kind of either migrated over here or just try to bring work over here, like a lot of the pirate scenes and stuff like that for a lot of old adult movies.
I wonder with pornography, it seems like I've never seen the same people twice in all my years of exploring the encyclopedias that are available online. I don't recall ever seeing the same person twice. And I often wonder if there's like a draft or something for chicks that get letters in the mail, like, hey, make a few couple bucks here, come on down. And then they do one and then they're like, this isn't for me. I tried. No, thank you. And then they just leave the biz. Yeah. So they do one scene. That's it. So how many performers are there? Is it pretty easy to find people?
Well, yeah. Well, nowadays it's like ridiculously easy because you could literally just put up something on Craigslist.
Yeah.
At the end. Back then, it was a website called sexyjobs.com.
Mm-hmm.
And literally you could find it. It had a filter of like things that women were willing to do and not do, you know? So, like, yeah, they're willing to go ahead and have a four-way, but they're not willing to go ahead and take it in the back door, which I didn't understand. You know, it's kind of weird.
Hey, you got to have some, you know, standards.
Exactly, some decorum.
Sure,
know?
Sure.
But, yeah, it was an interesting place to find ladies. One actually was Nikki and Mallory Knox.
Uh-huh.
It was a porn couple. And
they were two ladies, two young women, or
no? This is. Have you ever seen the movie with Woody Harrelson and Julia Louis-Dreyfus? No, Julia Louis-Dreyfus. Jesus, Julia. Oh my gosh, the chick from the Vacation movies. Well, in either case, they were basing their porn names off of the serial killer movie. And
oh, Natural Born Killers.
Natural Born Killers. Yes. Thank you so much.
I don't think I've actually ever seen that movie.
Yeah,
I heard it's a good one.
It's a good one. It's a trip. You know? But, yeah, the porn business is a dirty business. You know?
More ways than one, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like, I actually, one of the first things I ever had to do was pretty much tell a girl that her O-face was turning me off. You know? She looked like she was having a seizure and, like, having a Rocky moment at the same time. My gosh.
Went full retard there a little bit.
Yeah, pretty much. you know, and I just had to stop her midway through. I'm like, Pumpkin, look, your look can kill a deer right now. You're not doing anything for any guy. So can you at least pretend to enjoy it a little bit more? You know?
Right. Is that website still up, the Sexy Jobs one, or has that pretty much been overtaken by Craigslist?
Pretty much, because that one was a site that was actually a pay-for site. Like, if you wanted to get high-end film roles, you would pay for the good advertisement. But if you wanted to just do the ones that were free, you know, get paid $100 for a small gig.
I have a buddy, a good friend of mine. He's a creep. He is a big creep and a deviant. Greatest guy ever, though. I love him very much.
We know our own. We know our own.
Sure. And he pretty much posts on Craigslist that he has gigs, and then he has them send them pictures, and then just keeps the pictures and doesn't email them back, basically.
That's a good one. I like that. I got to go, that's creative, you know. But, you know, you wonder how many times do you get an actual picture of the person, you know.
Yeah. Well, he makes sure they send more than one, okay. So he knows that it's them. He's smart, too, so that's a problem. He can hustle and manipulate these people easily. I would imagine people that are doing pornography aren't the brightest people in the world, but I've also met – I actually talked to a girl that works at the Bunny Ranch. She did an AMA on Reddit, and it kind of took off, and she answered questions about sex work, and she was sharp as a tack. Yeah. And she knows what she's doing, and, you know –
some of the ladies, I feel, are actually much more intelligent than the guys working in the film.
Oh, I can imagine. They're just, I would imagine the dudes are just himbos, pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, they're just like, so you just want me to go do her?
Will do, bro.
Yeah, I know,
pop
right?
An Oxycontin first so I don't blow quick. That would be the trick.
Yeah. And, you know, it's weird because when you're doing these type of scenes between a guy and a girl, or even a girl on girl, just having to give them the sign to come.
Yeah.
Like, that ruined porn for me.
Right.
Personally, I can't jerk off to that anymore. You know, I'm sorry. I mean, I don't know if you can say it, but, you know, because it just is like, okay, I could have done this better. I could have filmed it from this angle. That girl needs to be fluffed. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But the guys, they were always just like, am I coming now? Like,
is it time?
Yeah, is it time? I'm like, dude, are you serious? You know, get it together, man. You know,
it's got to be a high-pressure gig, though, especially for the dudes. I mean, the girls just kind of have to be there. But I would imagine the dudes actually have to perform. Like, girls can kind of just do whatever they want. They just have to be there for the most part. But dudes have a lot of pressure on them.
Yeah, because you're not, like, how do I say this without being kind of vulgar, but you have to hold it in.
Yeah.
Like, you really have to hold it
right.
in. You know?
I would imagine, though, too, when you have the cameras and a bunch of other people there, I wouldn't even be able to maintain the erection. That would even be difficult.
Now that you mention that, that is something I found out that the adult entertainment industry, film-wise, actually has a lot of, like, a lot of the crew will have hard-ons while filming.
So, oh, really?
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I had one, too. You know, it was, yeah. You know, but I'm a man. And at the end of the day, a beautiful woman is having sex with another beautiful woman. I mean, that's, like, that's gold. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure.
You know?
I would imagine it's not fun, though, directing and shooting these things. Did you find it enjoyable, or was it kind of like just like, this is a job, I just want to get this over with?
No, it was definitely enjoyable. I mean, you can't go into that and not think, okay, this is the funniest thing. You know? You know? Because you literally are dealing with girls or ladies who are just doing anything you say within the realm of their contract.
Mm-hmm.
And usually that's a pretty big realm. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it did get awkward here and there when literally there was a girl-on-girl that we filmed, and I remember this till today. One girl got off the girl mid-scene because she swore her private part stank. All right.
Yeah.
Now, my crew consisted of me and my two of my best friends. We're dying inside because her face, like, you could see it, like, leading up, you know. You could see her face starting to cringe, like, you know. And we're dying because, really, we know where the smell is coming from. But we were hoping for the fact of, you know, that it was going to keep the room cool. We kept the window open.
Yeah.
And we knew it was coming from the trash. But this led to one of the funniest things in my life, where she ripped off her toy and was about to hit the other chick with the toy.
Oh, wow. You had a best of world star moment there.
I thought it was, like, the best bucket list serendipitous moment you could get. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, it could get kind of weird. But most of the girls know that sex has really worked to them. You know what I'm saying? The ones that they're professional about, like,
sure,
you want my butt in this angle. It's like, wow, you really go about it.
Yeah. You know? I mean, if you're going to do something, do it right, you know?
Yeah. You know, in the 5 minute, the 5 minute breaks while we were resetting, oh man, we had this lady called Nadia Nitro, and she's, if you can look her up online right now, she's a brunette bombshell.
I will.
Yeah. She came and filmed for us here at our studio in Tampa that we had, and she had actually been preparing herself.
Okay.
Yeah, you see her, right?
Yeah, she's pretty good. Oh, yeah. She's like, got that Vladimir Putin type of look about her. Could be Vladimir Putin's daughter.
Well, she was definitely, you know, setting off some rockets in my heart. You know what I'm saying? You know? But the young lady, we were, you know, we were doing our thing. It was like maybe 2 to 3 hours into filming, and we were finally getting to the point where she's playing with some backdoor toy.
Mm-hmm.
And we take a break because we want to go ahead and just reset the scene to a different place. And we're like, you know, you could just take it out, whatever, and, you know, go have a coffee or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're over there pouring ourselves some drinks, and we see something shiny out of the corner of my eye, and she left the glass butt plug in the whole time.
Like, what a trooper. What a doll.
You know, I was just saying, like, so you've done this so much, you don't feel that.
Yeah.
But she was a sweetheart, I will say.
I wonder what's last longer career-wise, pro football player or porno star?
That's a solid question.
Because I looked it up, and the average NFL career is a season and a half.
Unless you get you contract something in adult entertainment, you can go at least, I think, 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and some even extend their career just by having the plastic surgeries, which is
right.
You know, athletes, on the other hand, they'll repair a leg as much as they can. You know,
yeah, kind of the same thing, a little bit in the same realm. You know, performance enhancing. You know, I tore my meniscus, get that replaced, getting a little saggy in the bosom area. Go ahead and get those suckers lifted up.
And
play another 4 years. I'm going to get the franchise tag this year.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of girls who got franchise tagged in the adult entertainment industry, man.
So how long did you do that for?
About 2 years, man. It was
so that was a full-time gig for you?
It actually became a part-time only because of the fact that once we were done filming, it was more about pushing it to distributors and stuff like that. And a lot of the distributors wanted more and more films. So we were just trying to go ahead and push out one solid production piece after another. But we came into the whole adult entertainment business just as porn was going free online.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a bust. You know?
Yeah, it didn't become like, I mean, it's still a billion-dollar industry, right? Even today, but back then you're making money hand over fist.
Exactly, because all the good quality stuff you would have to pay for.
Yeah.
You know, but once it went free, it killed a lot of good video companies.
Right. You know? So is that when you kind of got out because just weren't making the money anymore?
Yeah.
Everything was free.
Yeah, you know, besides, you know, when you got a lady, sometimes it just gets a little awkward.
Yeah, sure.
But, yeah, man, I got into comedy about a year and a half, 2 years ago almost. Just blessed to be making people laugh now, man, as opposed to, you know, telling them how to come, you know. You know?
When did you first do your first stand-up?
It was January. No, actually, it has been less than 2 years. It's been about a year and almost 5 months, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Was at Double Decker and Ebor. That was my first open mic.
Jeff Ray's down there. Yeah, I think that one actually just went defunct. It was around forever.
Yeah, the leg up, stand up.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
It really is, man. Jeff is a good guy.
He is.
You know, but the situation got, I guess, a little bit weird. But he tried to keep it going in Dubliner, but that didn't work out.
Yeah, when you switch venues like that, people are so accustomed. Because that was around for years, right? I mean, leg up was around forever. Yeah. It's really hard, too, when you have a comedian that actually runs his own room. Usually comedians are inherently lazy and don't promote, so these things end up... James Bailey started one at Mix down here on 16th Street. Great room, but he didn't promote it. And I was like, dude, you have to go out of your way. I'll show you what to do. It's easy. No. It takes 10 minutes of your day, and you only have to do it once a week. And I don't want to do that. I'm like, okay, well, it's not going to work out then. And sure enough, I think he did it for like 2 months, and then it was already gone. So... Yeah.
See, that's the thing. Anything in life, man, if you don't put in the effort, man, it ain't going to pay off. You know?
That's a fact. Yep. Yeah. You have to do the work. Yeah. Jay Rivera is joining me on this episode of the Homemade Broadcast. So how did you do? What was your first? Did you bomb? Did you do okay?
Surprisingly, I did okay. I didn't get any boos.
That's good.
Yeah, no, knock on wood on that. You know, I was really happy not to have that. But it was just because I told them that particular porn story about the smell and everything like that. And most people are just kind of like, for real, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, it was a great experience. And ever since then, I've been addicted to just getting on stage as much as I can, you know?
Mm-hmm. Are you based in Tampa?
Now I'm based out of Largo.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I grew up in Largo.
Oh, really? Right on.
Right on Almerton Road and Ridge Road down there.
I'm actually off of Almerton and just after 19 heading toward the beach.
Yeah. I know exactly where that is. Yeah, my old stomping grounds. Did you go to, did you always live in Tampa or Tampa Bay, I should say?
I was in Tampa, well, roughly now 23 years.
Okay. How old are you?
I'm 33.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, I came from, well, I was born in Puerto Rico, but I was only there until like 5 months, and then I was in Connecticut the rest of the time.
Mm-hmm. When did you move down to Largo, Tampa?
About 3 months ago.
Oh, okay. So you came from Connecticut and then moved to...
Tampa Bay, yeah.
Tampa Bay.
Like the actual Tampa, you know, downtown Tampa area.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and then you came back down to Largo. What do you like better? Do you like this side of the bridge better or Tampa?
Well, to be honest with you, man, Tampa is a little bit more city than I've noticed since living over here, you know. Everybody over here has got a really chill vibe about them. You know?
Yeah, I think it's a little smaller. Like, I think St. Pete, there's a silent rivalry. Well, not so silent, actually. But that's even starting to kind of dwindle a little bit. And I'm really excited for this ferry they're talking about building. Right. It's going to go from the new pier down to Channel Side. That's going to connect us even more. And we can kind of become, not one, I think we're each going to have our own identities.
Definitely.
But being able to, I'd love to go visit Tampa more. I don't because I hate driving. I can't stand it. And
frankly, it's evil.
Yeah, it's terrible. I hate driving over the bridge. I don't know my way around Tampa at all because I never go there. Right. But I'd love to be able to go over to Tampa more. Go check out a Lightning game and just be able to hop on the ferry and do that.
Yeah.
So hopefully that will change things.
No, I hope so, too. I mean, we were supposed to have, I heard something of a light rail going between Tampa and...
I think that got squashed. I wish they would do that, but if it doesn't make any money, then I guess you can't do it. I can't imagine, though. If I could, I would never drive. If I could sell my car and get around, even Tampa Bay, you know, just in general, I would do that in a second. I can't stand driving.
You know, I actually don't mind driving because it gives me a lot of time to work on stuff, you know.
Like, yeah.
You know, I don't have to worry about writing so much anymore because technology's really helped out. Now I just do voice memos and, you know,
right.
You know, give myself ideas while I'm driving.
Yeah. I got hit by a drunk driver, I guess about 10 years ago.
Damn.
And it's never been, I've always been scared. I used to like driving, but now I'm still shaky because it was like a bomb went off. Like I didn't see it coming or anything. It just happened. I got elbowed. So pretty much the guy was going like over 100 miles an hour,
jeez.
Blew a red light and just ripped off the front of my car pretty much. And I don't want to exaggerate. But if it was a split second more, he would have hit me right in my driver's side door, and I don't think I'd be alive anymore after that.
I agree with you. You're not exaggerating.
Right? Yeah, it's pretty scary. So, and I walked away. I mean, I walked away from that. I didn't have any injuries or anything. I got a thing on my leg. The dashboard came and smacked my leg and got a big knot on my leg. But that was about it. You know, I had to shake the cobwebs loose. I remember it was literally like a bomb went off. Yeah. And it took me, I don't know how long it was. It must have been a few minutes that I was kind of dazed because the ambulance was there, it seemed like, immediately. Oh, and yeah. It must have been at least a few minutes. So I finally shook the cobwebs out enough, and I went to open my door, kicked the door open, and then finally this lady came running over. She was like, oh, I thought you were dead. That's why I didn't want to see. She's like, oh, just stay there, you know, hang on. And I was just like, ugh. And then the ambulance was there, took me out. And that bastard, we went to, I think it was St. Anthony's that I got taken to. And I could hear him. He was there, too, because he was hurt, too. And he was like, oh, a guy ran a red light, came out of nowhere. And I was like, son of a bitch, this guy's going to try to pin this on me. And I was drinking that night. I had a few drinks. I was coming from St. Pete, and I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to get in trouble for this. I mean, I wasn't hammered by any means, but I definitely had enough that if you were to test my blood, I probably would not pass. So
a lot of us did that once. And we shouldn't.
But. Yeah, we all do it from time to time. With Uber, luckily, you don't have to do that anymore. But back in the day, definitely. Yeah. So I had a witness, though, the woman behind me.
Thank God.
Thank God, man. Because so I don't even know what happened to that guy. I don't think he really got – I mean, I'm sure he got a DUI. But, yeah, I don't know what happened to him. I don't know if he did jail time. And, of course, he didn't have insurance either. They never do.
Okay, so check this out. You're kind of freaking me out because I actually was hit by a drunk driver, want to say 2003.
Uh-huh. Okay,
and he what really happened was he hit one car, bounced off that car, then bounced off of me, breaking my tire and everything like that. Dude got out of his car, starts running. I had to chase him down. All right, now I'm a fat guy, so I mean, like for a fat guy to be hauling some skinny guy down, I mean, you know, you had to piss me.
You get a lot of adrenaline, yeah.
So luckily, there was an off-duty cop that was right at the light and saw it all happen. And when I got the guy and the cop came up, he's like, he put him in cuffs real quick, and he's like, "Don't let him go anywhere." I'm like, "Not a problem." So I got to clothesline him a couple of times because he kept trying to get up, and it was just like WWE. You know? At one point, I was going to try to stun him, you know, but I didn't. You know, I didn't want to take it too far. But turns out he didn't have insurance.
They never do.
Yeah. So that's when I learned about uninsured motorist coverage.
Yeah. Like,
that is my thing right now. You know, when it comes to driving,
I would love to be able to get that, but I don't have any money, so I got to cut costs wherever I can. I mean, I drive a '94 pickup truck right now, so I don't really need. What do you call it? If it gets wrecked, they're just going to junk it anyways. It's a $2,000 truck. So, but yeah, it's important to have. If you can afford it, you should definitely have the uninsured motorist for sure.
Definitely, man. You remember what your first car ever was?
Yeah, it was a 90. It must have been an early 90s Geo Prism.
Wow.
It was okay car for a first car.
I
mean, it wasn't a beater by any means. It was my mom's old car. She had got a new car, so kind of handed it down to me. And I loved that. I mean, that was awesome. I had a car at 16, so I couldn't complain.
Right.
And then I had a Ford Focus after that. That's the one that got wrecked out. And then I was driving around a Cadillac after I got the settlement for that. I just got a 96 DeVille, which I love that car. But it did last me a long time. I mean, I think I paid $3,500 for it. And I rode it into the ground, and I think it lasted 6 years, you know, with minimal repairs. But it, towards the end, man, it was a ticking time bomb. I was expecting for it to just blow up. So I actually just got this new truck like 2 months ago. And it's nice to have reliable transport now because it doesn't leak anything. It's just, you know, it was probably a fleet vehicle at one point. My mechanic was like, if you need a transmission, it's $400. In this thing, because there's so many of them and so much in the junkyard, you can find anything you want whenever you want. Like, all right, sounds good. But I love that Cadillac. It looked like something that either a drug dealer drove or just an old grandpa. It had rims on it. It was pearl white, had a red top. It was pretty sweet looking.
And with Pin.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. But yeah, it's nice to have more reliable transport now.
Definitely, man. My first car was an 84 Crown Vic. All right,
was it like the cop car looking one?
It was same. It was that same model. I shouldn't say model, but make. but it was the 84 version, which was just a huge steel tank.
Right.
You know, the old cop cars, you know. And I, that car got killed. It got crushed by some lady who was driving her SUV early in the morning. She didn't see my car sitting plainly on the side of the road, and she just smashed into it. My car didn't look like had anything happened to it. Her car was, the destroyed. Front end was just destroyed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I lost my baby. You know, like, that was my beast, man. You
yeah.
know, I love that car.
That was part of it because I was so afraid to drive that I wanted a tank. I wanted a boat, you know, so if something did happen, I'd be okay.
Yeah. They protect you, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
but 10 years later, I'm still afraid, a little bit of afraid to drive. I mean, it took me a long time to actually start driving the thing, and I can do it now, but it's definitely something I think about, how quickly your lights can get turned out if somebody's drunk or runs a red light. Yeah. You know, it's definitely a risk.
Yeah, man, it's kind of crazy how, you know, the way our cars supposedly are getting safer, yes, you know, the more airbags and all this detection, but at the end of the day, you can't, you know, prepare for someone's just, you know, stupidity while driving,
yeah.
you know? And sadly to say, there's a lot of stupid drivers.
There's a lot of dummies yeah. out there.
Yeah. yeah. You know.
With no insurance.
None.
Somehow. I don't know how they get away with that. But
well, they're not usually the most stand-up citizens. You know? you know? Every once in a while, everybody's got to ride dirty, I guess, you know?
Yeah, you know? I guess. Jay Rivera is joining me on this edition of the Homemade Broadcast. So you've been doing comedy about a year and a half now. Started at Leg Up, did okay. And then you just started hitting weekly open mics, pretty much?
Yeah, man. It's been a wild ride because I started there, went to improv. Then I realized what it is to do an actual stand-up show. Like, at improv, like, you get humbled real quick at improv.
Oh, yeah. The crowd's brutal
yeah.
at improv.
Yeah.
Usually because the ones that do stay came from a show.
Where the
professional is.
Yeah.
And then they come in here, and then it's all comics pretty much after that.
Yeah. And they hear a lot of fart jokes right off the bat, so they get, like, dissuaded with everything else that's about to happen. But,
yeah.
Yeah, then from there, I'm not sure if you ever heard of Pegasus Lounge.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I went and watched Chris Heist there a couple weeks ago.
Oh, okay, so you know what's going on.
Yeah, it's a mess.
Yeah, man, Pegasus is a special place to perform, man. But, hey, you know, anytime you get on stage, man, it's practice, you know. Now I've been out here, I've been doing, you know, your open mic at Sly Bar, which is awesome, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah, I look forward to being there tonight, actually. I've been doing Kymatic Studios in the Warehouse District.
I don't yep.
know if you heard of them, you know.
Yeah, I'm actually judging their showcase thing on Saturday.
Well, the
Saturday.
Footnotes show.
Footnotes, yeah.
Nice, yeah, with Nathan Hart, yeah, man.
Yep.
Yeah, man. That's actually going to be really special, and... I've even done, well, I was part of the first group that did the roast battle for Kyle Roos and Foo Bar in downtown. That was fun.
Kyle's a great guy. I love Kyle always gets me in trouble whenever I hang out with him.
Really?
But that's how I started smoking again, which I'm on my way to stopping again. But I've always been this thing where it's like, I smoked for 2 years. I started like stealing cigarettes from my grandma when I was like 10,
damn.
You know. So ever since then, it's just been an up-and-down battle. And then I wasn't smoking for a couple years, and I started hanging out with Kyle and had a few drinks, and they were all smoking. I was like, I think I'll have one.
Yeah.
And he was like, don't do it. In his defense, he was like, don't. And I was like, I'm fine. This is not my first rodeo. And then I had one, and then I had another, and then the next day I bought a pack. So I'm going to get there again. I'm already in the mindset of I need to stop doing this. So it should be any time now. You never quit smoking. You just stop
yeah.
smoking for a period of time.
It's true.
Like it's my expensive.
Mom, oh, yeah. yeah. My mom smoked her whole life since she was like 15. And it was like, what is it, like $6 a pack for a decent pack of cigarettes?
Yeah, mine. I smoked the American Spirits. They're $7 a pack.
Ooh,
it's like crazy. Crazy. I figured that this vaping stuff would bring down the price a little bit, but nope.
No, because if the vape breaks, you got to replace that, and
yeah.
that's not
a cheap hobby
yeah.
either. Those things are hundreds of dollars, some of those things. Yeah. I think Bailey just quit smoking his. I haven't seen him with it in a while.
No, I luckily didn't get into smoking cigarettes unless I had a drink, and even then, like, I started waking up the next day with, like, this horrible taste, and I was
oh,
like,
yeah.
no, now I'm good.
You don't smell as good. You don't taste things as good. I mean, it's really not worth it. And then your lungs hurt. You're coughing up crap all the time.
Oh, yeah.
It's really a terrible, terrible habit. Yeah.
Like, do you smoke? I don't want to put you out there, but do you smoke something else?
I used to. I gave up pot like 3 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, I was an everyday smoker. Pretty much all Saturday, Sunday is pretty much what I would do with my time. And then in the evenings, you know. And I was always, I don't think I had a problem with it or anything, but it just was fun. And it was a good escape. And how did I stop? I think I took a tolerance break for a while. I was like, I'm going to take a month off. And then, because I was going through a quarter a week, it's a lot.
Yeah, depending on the quality.
It's $400 a month.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I needed to try to save some money a little bit. And then I started being productive. I actually started doing, I started the podcast. I started, you know, thinking about my future and decided I can't have it in my life. Like, it's slowing me down, and I need to be focused right now.
You know, that's pretty cool that you were able to do that, man, because, like, I tried to quit smoking altogether. And even went into a gym, got a personal trainer and all that stuff, just so I could find something else to keep my mind on. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because after smoking it for so long, you kind of, I'm not going to lie, it's like a cigarette. You crave it. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
But I get to the gym and my personal trainer, she's an awesome buff chick. And like 3 weeks into our training, she's like, so, do you smoke weed? I'm like, no. She's like, bummer. I had a really great bowl. I'm like,
wait.
Oh. Like, this is not,
I mean, right. I could try. Yeah. I could try it. You know, no big deal.
And her selling point was, well, it actually helps with muscle soreness and all this stuff after working out. I'm like,
it's true.
Well, you know, what if it helps the body? You know,
I used to love doing that. Smoking a bowl and then going to the gym, I gained most of my weight back. But I was a fat kid and became a fat adult. But at 18, I dropped 90 pounds. I was 180 pounds for a while.
Wow.
And I would smoke a bowl, go to the gym. It made gym life more tolerable. You just put in your headphones and do your thing. And, yeah, it helped with soreness. It helped with getting motivated. And I even tried to start running again, and I actually bought some pot to try to smoke so running wouldn't be so terrible. And, I was like, no, I can't getting back into this. Not right now. So, I mean, I might come back to it in the future, but right now I got crap to do. I don't have time for it.
No, man, that's the way you got to be. You know, if you got goals and you got things you want to do, you know, you got to put the hustle in. And sometimes there are things that will hold you back, you know.
Yeah.
You let them go.
Not to mention, like, drug tests and everything. I know there's easy ways to get out of it. You know, I had a buddy of mine who got busted for a Dewey, and he was smoking. And I was like, oh, you got to stop smoking. He's like, I'm not going to quit. I'm like, well, you're going to go to jail.
Right.
So he bought the Wizinator thing, and it worked. He always passed the test, didn't have any problems.
Yeah, I've done that. I'm not going to lie, I've done that, man. It works.
It's a brilliant invention.
It is, but nowadays I'm seeing more and more employers, man, just stop with the drug testing, because you got to think about it. It is a lot of money to have so many employees drug tested.
It's expensive, like, yeah. I would imagine each of those tests are at least $100.
Yeah, if not
that
more.
Costs the company, yeah.
Yeah, and if it's a federal one, oh, man, it's even twice as harsh, you know, with the cost. So, like, I won't say who the people were, but it has something to do with a really awesome capital, and they had a really great bank. You know what I'm saying? You know.
Okay.
Okay.
Gotcha.
And basically they didn't drug test. And I was really surprised, because this is, you know, you're dealing with hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, in credit cards and stuff like that and personal information. And they weren't drug testing. And I was just like, I didn't get it. I really didn't get it. Then all of a sudden found out they always do surprise drug tests.
Yeah.
So that's why I got acquainted really well with that. You know, I was like, I gotta have it in the box just in case. You know?
Didn't they tell you though? Like, you have to get this done today.
Yeah, yeah.
So you just went and bought one real quick. And
yeah.
Then?
See, the thing is usually I always reserved the smoking for the weekends,
mm-hmm.
so that way I could be sharp during the week and everything. Like
right,
that.
Right.
Now that I'm doing stand up, that's the complete opposite. But what ended up happening was that, you know, I had this little thing. You take it 2 hours before your test. Like 2 liters worth of water, you pee it all out, and congratulations, you're ready for at least 6 hours.
Oh, really?
Hours.
It worked?
Yeah, it worked 6 hours, man. It didn't fail.
Wow.
So it's it has.
What product is this?
It was, I can't even begin to tell you the name of it because it was in a little pyramid box and it had four pills. And it just basically was a bunch of vitamins and stuff like that, pretty much to throw the test off, honestly. Mm-hmm. You know? A buddy of mine, he bought fake pee. You know, like the one that you put in a microwave before you go somewhere. Right. Oh, yeah. He had it hidden in his leg.
Uh-huh.
And he thought the thing had busted because he saw his like leg right here in his pants, you know, right there in the thigh, get all like wet and soggy. And it's because he had the little heater pack connected to it. So his thigh was just sweating ridiculously. And, you know, he's like,
somebody told me, oh, man, I can't remember who it was, but one of the comics took somebody's pee, one of the other comics' pee, in a balloon, and it popped.
Oh.
And it got somebody else's pee all over their pants. I can't imagine. I know urine's sterile, but that's still gross.
I agree, brother. Like, I don't care if I've been stung by a jellyfish. You keep your pee off me, man. You know what I'm saying? It's like...
Yeah.
Yeah, that ain't happening, man. But, you know, it's been a lot of fun, man. I appreciate you having me on, man. It's been a long time since I've gotten to do something like this. I really appreciate you having me.
Yeah, have you thought about podcasting at all?
For the longest time, I was like, you know, I'm going to go ahead and do it. But laziness is a factor,
yep.
And I think it also has something to do with what you said about why you had to stop smoking weed. But, you know, that's neither here nor there, you know. But really, I would love to have, if I were to ever have a podcast, I know a lot of very funny people thanks to doing comedy. And I think, you know, having like the round table podcast type stuff, that's always great, you know. And I don't know, have you had, obviously, you know, you have a good little setup here. Like, what's the most, people you've had at one time for a cast?
I think we've had, we've had more people in here watching, but
oh, really?
I think it was the Plastic Pinks. I had this band, the Plastic Pinks from Miami, and I think there was five of those dudes and then me. It was kind of an awkward setup because I only have four mics,
right?
But it was pretty fun. And this place is so small, it got really hot in here. I like to have the one-on-one, usually.
That's cool, man. That's cool. You ever met somebody that you just wanted to have on air because of their voice?
No.
No?
No, I mostly try to focus on, like, it's usually comics that come in here just because I run the two mics, the Yard of Ale and the Sly Bar, so I meet a lot of new people. And it's amazing how many people I still haven't met. I've been doing the mic at Sly Bar for 2 years now and having all these people in. There's always new folks. The Tampa crew is like a totally different
scene. It really is.
It's one of those things. I don't get it. It's hard to pull a lot of those Tampa guys out over this way. And I wonder if it's the same. I feel like the people here, though, in St. Pete, you know, Pinellas County, will travel. But some of the Tampa guys just don't at all.
No, I've had that same vibe ever since I got into it. Like, you know, St. Pete crowd definitely seems, or the St. Pete scene of comics definitely seems like they're willing to travel a lot more.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the Tampa comics, like you said, don't leave the area. Like, Chris Heiss is the only one that I know. He comes outside of Tampa.
That guy's insane.
He comes from Gainesville.
Gainesville. And then travels up to Jacksonville a few days a week, and then comes down here a few days a week, and he tutors math. And that's his day job. He does that, like, 3 or 4 days a week.
I didn't know that, man. Like, and I love Chris, man. He's a good guy. But that is one dude, man, I don't know. Like, I'm sure every parent, when they first meet him, like, you're tutoring my kid.
Yeah, he looks like he should be living in the forest writing a manifesto and making bombs. And with the stuff he talks about, I won't be surprised if that happens one day. He's out of his mind.
Right, but I love the guy. You know,
he's a great dude. Yeah. Great dude. I love him very much. All right, man, we got to get out of here. Let's head to Sly Bar. You got social media you can give out?
Right now I'm just Javier Rivera, you know, Facebook. I'll be getting some stuff up soon, but it's under the J. Rivera, you know, title, I guess. For
you don't have Twitter?
I do. It's let me see if I still have it.
It's amazing how many comics don't know their Twitter name and don't have Twitter. It's like a perfect tool, man.
Well, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, you start using it after you've already been, you know, addicted to Facebook. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
My Twitter pretty much right now reads as, you know, a good question. Apparently, it is Javi Man. 82.
Javi Man 82. You can follow me on Twitter at @home_made_man. Check out Facebook, Radio St. Pete on Facebook, and HMB Radio. Instagram, @home_made_man. Have a good one. See you next week. Thanks, Jay.
Peace, man. Thank you for having me.